The shotgun here on second down and nine. Savage in trouble, and he is sacked. Pressure coming from Ngakoue. Ball is out, and Jacksonville recovers. Ngakoue came flying into the backfield, knocked it away, and Avery Jones recovers. Savage with pressure coming. He is hit hard and drilled by Calais Campbell. Savage lost the football again. It's out. It's scooped up by Fowler. Fowler has blockers. Fowler at the 20. Fowler, touchdown, Jags. Watson lost the football. Ball is on the ground. Jacksonville fighting for it, indicating they have it. No signal yet. Now we do. It's Jacksonville football. Blitz coming. Watson is hit and sacked. So do the Texans then open it up. As that pass is picked off, it's Tashawn Gibson, and he's got some room to run. Tashawn Gibson at midfield. He's got a blocker in front. Watson is able to bring Gibson down. And for the first time since September 11th, 2011, a span of 2,191 days, the Jacksonville Jaguars are over 500.
Yeah, it just wasn't a good day, John. Got to do a better job, you know, coaching. Got to figure it out. It was a bad day. Starts with me. Players played hard. There were glimpses of some decent plays, but, you know, clearly it was a bad day.
Well, not much positive to say about that, but we'll find something. Let's do this. It's a Monday on the Blitz.
And here we go.
From the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And The Blitz is on for a Monday. Welcome to the greatest show in the history of the known universe with me, Fred Fowler, the Falcon, A.J. Hoffman, the role model, Jong Lee, the bleeping master. If you want to get in today, 713-780-ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz, click like, you're good to go. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler. There you are, at AJ is the real, at Jong Snow with a zero, at Degenerates 975. You can also text the show at 713-780-3776. And it's a Monday, and a lot of football this weekend, but locally, not a lot of good football.
That's being generous.
Yeah.
That's nice.
Yeah. I figured you'd have lots of thoughts on this.
UH won.
UH did win.
Crap on all locally.
No, they did win.
Although that second half, I could have done without.
Hey, listen, that's you're playing against a Power 5 team. A win's a win. Right? Okay.
Yeah.
They covered.
Yeah, they did cover.
I mean, I don't know what you guys are wanting out of this thing.
More than 2 points in the second half.
Yeah, and want Kyle Allen to not look like Tom Savage, but that's all right. We'll get to that game later.
Although he did look pretty good early on.
Yeah, you guys, listen, take what you get here.
We have high expectations, AJ.
I guess that's better than what the A&M and UT showed the weekend before.
Well, yeah.
And Baylor
well,
this
what
weekend,
A&M,
too.
What A&M showed this weekend. We'll get to college in a little bit, like you said. The real story is... I can't connect to the Wi-Fi here.
It was a little slow for me. It took a while. I don't know what's
going on. Probably
because
we got 800 interns out there that are probably all connected to the same Wi-Fi network. I'm just getting the searching, and it clicks on our actual, the one we use, but then it won't fully connect. So I blame the fact that there are too many people using it back there in that back room. Tell them to shut all their devices off, get off the Wi-Fi. That Wi-Fi is not for interns. Wi-Fi is for closers. But the second big story after that is that the Texans look like they may be in some, I don't want to say in real trouble. It's 0-1.
Yeah, and it's a game you expected to win going. That's one of those you checked off as a W.
But you could not have had much worse of an opening weekend than what the Texans had, right?
I'm trying to think of one. Maybe if they'd played the way they did in Miami a couple of years ago, that would have been worse.
Okay. But it didn't happen opening weekend.
Maybe when they went and got shut out by Jacoby Brissett.
Yeah, that was bad.
That one was bad.
But you know what's
Chiefs playoff game. Yeah.
But the difference is those were decent teams. This is a team that, I mean, most people thought were going to win 5 or 6 games. And I don't know that the projections on the Jags have changed much overnight. But nobody's looking at this team like they're a playoff team. And I don't think that they are. But they made the Texans look like, you know, we always talk about what it would look like if an NFL team played Alabama. That's what it looked like. I mean, it looked like a college team playing against a pro football team. The offense was, and I'm sure most people have spent the whole day talking about how crappy the offense was, and it was horrendous. And it goes to every player who walked on the field on the offensive side. There's not one of them you can say, that guy had a pretty good day, because no, he didn't. I promise
you. Whoever you're going to mention.
Yeah. You pick a name and I'll tell you, nope, he wasn't very good. That isn't necessarily surprising to me. I mean, if this team was going to have any issues, it was going to be on offense, right?
Right.
What's concerning is the Texans front seven, which is supposed to be so dominant.
The vaunted Texans front seven.
And this Texans defense that has been just ballyhooed and celebrated. They got not only beat, they got dominated. And by the way, that includes man of the year, J.J. Watt. That includes Jadeveon Clowney. That includes all those guys. We're getting blown off the ball by, does anybody, I don't remember where the Jags fell in our offensive line rankings that we read the other week, but I don't think they were very high. And they destroyed that Texans front. I mean, it was a strange thing to see. Like I said, the offensive struggles didn't really surprise me. They were more considerable than I thought they would be, the struggles. But
I don't know, man. I kind of felt the way they looked.
You saw a 10-sack game coming?
I didn't see a 10-sack game coming, but the way that Tom Savage played, I saw coming. I think I was saying that for 2 weeks.
Really, that's surprising. But here's the other thing. Let's say you Tom Savage is your quarterback, and you're adamant about saying he's your starter, and you give him all the first team reps during the preseason. You give him one half, and then you're like, no, that project's over. I think there's got to be a happy median between that and last year, where you knew it was bad for weeks and weeks and weeks and kept rolling it out there. I mean, when you give a guy all the reps in the preseason, let's see what that guy can do. I mean, it was a really bad first half, really bad. It didn't get much better. And I know there's a lot of people who are like, oh, I'm excited about Deshaun Watson. And listen, Deshaun Watson looked like a rookie quarterback behind a horrible offensive line. He got bailed out by a couple penalties. He would have had another big interception, a penalty that really had nothing to do with the play, rubbed that one out. And that was just a really horrible decision to throw that football. Offensively, they are in a dark place. And yeah, at this point, would Dwayne Brown help? Yeah. But would he fix it? I don't think so. I don't think so. The interior line yesterday was so bad. Xavier Suafilo, who I have crapped on since the day they drafted him, he's indefensible now.
Oh, and the thing is, at this stage, he's gotten worse. And I never thought that was possible, but he was so bad yesterday. And Calais Campbell just bent him over and did him way possible.
Like, Calais Campbell's not a scrub, but
he looked better than
he looked like Von Miller.
Yeah, yeah. And it was funny because you just look up and you look at Suafilo physically. You think, that guy should be able to play. He can't. He's awful. They've got to fix that. He doesn't belong on the field.
No, but the problem is, and this is what was funny, they took off They took him off the field and put Manx on the field in at guard. And then Allen gets hurt. And they had to put – and by the way, he was no peach yesterday anyway.
No, no.
And then they put Suofilo back on, and he's just as bad. I mean, it was – it's a nightmare scenario right now. There's no – there's no magical potion that's going to fix what's going on with that offensive line. And it, I don't know that any quarterback can play behind it, much less these two guys who have, let's face it, almost no experience.
Well, and this, we knew this was going to be a problem all offseason. We said they've got to address the offensive line.
I even didn't know it would be this bad.
Well, and then you take Dwayne Brown out of there.
Yeah.
Off of what was an average at best line last year, and you take your best player off of it, you're not going to be better. And they weren't. And there's a lot of blame to go around here. It was not just on the offensive line. Some of the play calls that O'Brien was doing that had Savage holding onto the ball too long. It just all fell apart. But I getting back to the defense, J.J. Watt had zero impact. Jadeveon Clowney had zero impact. And he also, on the third down play, where it looked like Cushing had stopped the fullback for a two-yard loss, he was standing there celebrating while the guy was still running. And that you've got to go finish the play. And that's one of the complaints about him coming into college is that he would take plays off. And if you watch that play, he's standing there with his arms in the air because he thinks Cushing's made the stop.
Yeah.
And it's embarrassing. And so they got no pressure on. I don't know how much of it was Mike Vrabel's play calling. I don't know how much of it was these guys just didn't play very well. But the reality is when that game was 19-7, after Watson came in and he got the touchdown, your defense is supposed to be so damn good. All they have to do is come out and stop them. Get a three and out right there. Got momentum going. Maybe he scored 19-14, and all of a sudden it's a different game. But nope, they watched right down the field on him, and that was a ball game.
There was a play where Corey Moore, Leonard Fournette carried the ball, and Corey Moore made a leg tackle, like grabbed an ankle and whipped him down. After about a 7 or 8 yard gain, the Texans were, I think it was 19-7 at the time. So they're getting their asses handed to them. The running back just had a 7 yard gain or 8 yard gain. You tackled him by his ankle, and Corey Moore stood over him like he was King Kong and was smack talking.
That was bad.
I mean, listen, yesterday was, I'm not a lifelong hardcore diehard Texans fan. I live here. I grew up here. I'd like to see them win, but I don't have an emotional attachment to them. I would like to know from Texan fan if that's the most embarrassing game in franchise history, because I think it's in the conversation. It has to be.
They've had some embarrassing ones, but I think this is up there.
Like when you factor in the opponent, I feel like this has got to be near the top. And they just didn't. They didn't even compete yesterday. They didn't look like they belonged on the field. Blake Bortles carved you up. We make fun of Blake Bortles all the time. Like, we don't even know Blake Bortles should be an NFL quarterback.
I'm not going to go there. The guy, but the way they ran the ball, you took away, you know, Blake Bortles in the fourth quarter. You know he's going to Bortles.
Yeah.
He didn't have to because they ran.
Because
Leonard Fournette ran the
ball off.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like he missed some wide open receivers or else that game would have been a lot worse because that's what he does.
And there's some penalties got called that otherwise the game could have been a lot worse too.
Yeah. Well, and that's the Jags. They're going to get penalized. They do stupid stuff. But they dominated every phase of that game. And I do want to hear from Texans fans where this one ranks. 713-780-3776. Don't go anywhere. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
This is Ed Tuttle Jones, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Hey, guys, want to get in on the action tonight? You know where to do it, mybookie.ag. As a matter of fact, if you liked the under in that game yesterday and you turned out to be right, you could have bet it on MyBookie, just like I did. MyBookie's an industry-leading website and a great place for you to cash in on all the exciting action. In-game live betting, so if you want to get in on the games tonight, if you miss a start, that's okay. You can still get the action. And if you join now, MyBookie will match your initial deposit with a bonus up to 100%. And if you're already signed up, you'll get text messages from them that'll tell you about bonuses to reload. Start winning. If you're sick and tired of getting a runaround when you ask for a withdrawal, MyBookie.ag has you covered. Decades of expertise, no hassle payouts, and no fine print. You'll experience the greatest customer service in the business, guaranteed. All you have to do is call 844-900-BETS or visit MyBookie.ag to open an account. And everybody always asks me, hey, where can I play online? Where can I play online? I always say the same thing. MyBookie.ag, MyBookie.lv works for both of them. Bet with the biggest, win with the best, only at MyBookie.ag. Sign up today.
From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN. A lot of people want to weigh in, so let's hear from the people. Let you guys talk about this. We'll start with Aiden. What's up, Aiden?
How you doing?
I'm doing all right. What's up? Sports.
I've been a Texans fan, obviously, since I started as an Oilers fan before that, and I'm a Cougars fan. I mean, I've watched these guys play on three different continents. I got a hoodie that I've had since before they played a game that I brought with me on three deployments. And this game is why I stopped watching them. I just there's no point in it anymore. You know they're going to go out there and lay an egg and look like an FCS team against Alabama. I have no faith in the management program or the coaches.
All right. So are you breaking up with the Texans now?
I mean, I'm just not going to watch them. So just, you know, they got to prove to me that they're going to do something on the field besides just draft choices.
Yeah, this was not a promising start to the season. In a season where, realistically, the division's not great. If you're an average team, and by the way, the Jacksonville Jaguars, they're in first place in this division all by themselves. I mean, if you can't win this division, I don't know how you can even think about starting to win playoff games, because this is. Is there a worse division top to bottom in the NFL?
I don't think so. And we'll get to the other games in the 5 o'clock hour. But Titans got embarrassed at home by a good Raiders team. The Colts got embarrassed on the road by not a good Rams team.
Yeah.
And so it doesn't. It doesn't look good right now. But they've bounced back from these crappy efforts before, so there is that. The only problem is they got to play Thursday night against a team that's going to be just as pissed off as they are, because they got their ass kicked yesterday too. So this is not a good, they're not in a good situation here. And then, oh, by the way, if you lose that,
you get the Patriots.
You get the Patriots and you're looking at 0-3. Let's try Kyle.
Hey guys, big fan of the show. I'm an Auburn fan and I'm obviously a Houston fan here in Houston. So I got a question. Which one of my offenses gets better first?
Oh, that's a good tough call. I will say this. Clemson's defense is really good. So Clemson shutting down Auburn offensively isn't like a total shock to me, because I know Clemson's really good on defense. I feel like Jacksonville's okay on defense, but they shouldn't have been that good. You know, they shouldn't have been that dominant. I think you're probably better off cheering for Auburn this year than you are the Texans.
Yeah, I think Auburn will get better first.
Yeah.
Troy.
What's going on, guys?
Sports is going on.
Hey, so I'm driving home from San Angelo yesterday, and thank God I just had to listen to it. I didn't actually have to watch it. But that was as big a debacle as I've ever seen in their history. And name a quarterback that could have won behind that offensive line yesterday.
I don't know. I mean, that's what I'm saying. It would have been tough. And it's hard for me to – I mean, Tom Savage and Deshaun Watson both sucked yesterday. But it's hard for me to say it's all their fault.
No, and I will say this. At least Watson's ability to get out of the pocket helped a little.
I mean, it did some, but
if you left Tom Savage in there, they're going to get 15 or 16 sacks.
But he looked like Johnny Football. Like, as soon as he got the snap, he had to start running around. And then when people would get close to him, he'd just fling it. Sometimes it was a really poor decision to just fling it. Savage's problem was the opposite. He would just hold the ball. I mean,
some of those passes were designed to be three-step drops and get rid of it, and he was just hanging on to it. And that's the difference between why a guy can look good in the preseason and why he doesn't look good when you're playing in a real game. Because pocket presence doesn't mean a lot in the preseason because you've got plenty of time. But he has no pocket presence. Let's try Reginald. What's up, Reginald?
Hello?
Hey, Sports Reggie.
Hey, what's up, guys? I heard you guys talking about, was that the most embarrassing Texan game? And I'm like, oh, hell no. The most embarrassing Texan game was the high school Letterman jacket playoff game against the Patriots.
But you know what?
They went out.
That's the Patriots, though. You kind of knew, with or without the jackets, you knew the Patriots were better.
Yeah, but it's the jackets, and they were so calm. And then at least you thought, okay, they're going to at least try. They're going to at least try. I mean, you had Savage out there. You had a horrible line. You knew that could possibly happen. But they put high school Letterman jackets on. That was just terrible. I mean, they focused more on them damn jackets than actually playing. And then they got destroyed. That, to me, I'll never forget that as long as I live. You'll forget that if Watson comes out and plays and they get the O-line, you'll forget this loss. But that high school, that changed everything. That changed everything. It was super embarrassing, and I've clowned so many of my friends because of it.
Yeah, that's the most embarrassing moment, but I don't know if it was the most embarrassing loss. I mean, even putting those jackets on was embarrassing. I mean, losing after was bad, but I feel like putting the jackets on, that was the embarrassing moment.
Yeah.
But I don't know that, like, on the field, that was nearly as embarrassing as this, because that team, the Texans had no chance in hell of beating that Patriots team. Let's be realistic. This is different. The Texans were, everyone thought the Texans were better than these guys.
That opener against Mark Sanchez and the Jets, when we thought that the Jets weren't that good, that was pretty embarrassing.
That was bad.
Yeah. But then the Jets went on to make the playoffs.
Yeah.
I would say that Falcons loss and then that Dolphins loss.
And those were like within 2 weeks of each other, right?
Yeah, that was a really bad stretch of football. But then they turned it around and made the playoffs. So I know that looks impossible after yesterday, but they can't be that bad all year long. They just can't. All right, Miguel, you're up.
Hey, what's going on, guys? I'm a lifelong Oilers and Texans fan. You know, I wanted football back in Houston, so I was so excited when Texans got here. So I'll always follow them. But I think the only worst game I can remember is when Schaub did, six pick sixes? I can't remember against what team, but that was a pretty bad I think the whole season was bad. But I guess my question is, if Watson would have started yesterday, would it have been a different outcome if he would have been starting, you know, from the beginning? And also, my only other question is, do y'all think Jags is a real deal, or is this kind of a fluke?
Okay, the first question, I think the answer is definitely no, because Deshaun Watson didn't do enough in the second half to make me think that all they needed to do was bring Deshaun Watson out.
Having said that, I think he should play.
So, I do too.
But I don't think he's quite ready, and the only way he's going to get ready is get out there and play.
Well, I also think it's ridiculous that Bill O'Brien just wasted the entire preseason on Tom Savage. If his leash was literally one half of football, then Watson should have been getting the first team reps the whole time.
Why does that surprise you? O'Brien's never handled his quarterbacks right.
Well, you're right. I mean, I guess it shouldn't surprise me. But between the Hoyer mallet situation and then last year, it gets worse every year, it seems. But yeah, no, I don't think Deshaun Watson would have made a difference in that game had he started the game. I think, in fact, it may have been worse for him had he started the game.
Yeah.
Because if he's back there, and that's like your introduction to the NFL is getting sacked five times in the first half of a football game, that ain't great. I mean, it's not great in the second half either. But no, I don't think it would have made a difference. What was the second question?
Are the Jaguars? I think the Jags defense has a chance to be pretty good. Offensively,
well, they can run the ball.
Yeah, they ran the ball very well.
And if you've got a good defense and you can run, you can be pretty good. I don't think the Jags are a playoff team.
No, I think they're 6-7 wins for the start of the season. I think that's what they are. But as long as Blake Bortles, if you put him in a position where he doesn't have to win the game for you, which is what they did, you're going to win the game.
By the way, it's good coaching yesterday. I mean, to not put him in those spots.
Exactly. And I thought Jacksonville's game plan was better on both sides of the ball. The Texans were outcoached. They were outplayed.
Well, let's also consider that Jacksonville lost their best offensive player on like the first play of the game.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if he's their best player anymore. That running back kid may be their best offensive player now.
Well, but
that's
certainly
their biggest weapon.
He's been their best player for 2 years in a row.
Yeah.
I mean, Leonard Fournette's played one game, but Allen Robinson is a really good receiver. Yeah. He caught the ball once, and he's out. Probably out for the season.
Yeah, that was a tough one too, because it was one of those where I mean you couldn't see where he hurt his knee, but then when he tried to get it off the field and he couldn't, you're like, this is bad.
And Blake Bortles walked by and tapped him on the knee that he tore.
Yeah, nice call there, Blake.
So somebody on Twitter was like, no, Blake Bortles meant to tap the right knee, but he missed and tapped the left knee.
Well, shocker.
Quick break. It's the Blitz on ESPN. Nice, I'm fine.
From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. Lamont mentioned the sweat bowl when the Steelers, they tried to burn the Steelers basically by leaving the roof open when it was 90 degrees and they were in black jerseys, and the Steelers kicked the crap out of them.
Oh, great.
Yeah, the playoff loss to Kansas City is one that a lot of people keep bringing up. But again, that was at least a playoff game against a good team. This is, they weren't competitive in this game. They were really, and again, they've bounced back from efforts like this before, but you'd like to have seen a little more something out of, especially your defensive line. That was just not a good effort. And they knew what Jacksonville was going to do. They were just going to give the ball to Fournette.
Yeah.
And Chris Ivory, when they brought him in, and they couldn't stop it. Let's let some more folks weigh in here. Philip.
This is like therapy.
Yeah.
I knew today's show would be sort of like therapy.
What's going on, man?
Hey, I just wanted to make a comment. We've been, I've heard you guys talk about how terrible the Texans are, and but are we sure Hopkins is still a number one wide receiver? I mean, I've never seen a number one wide receiver drop so many balls, and I know it wouldn't have probably mattered, but, man, he hadn't looked good in 2 years. I just wanted to hear your all's opinion.
Well, he's paid like a number one wide receiver now, and technically hasn't looked good in 1 year and one game. Because 2 years ago he was great. Is he A.J. Green, Julio Jones? No, but he's their number one wide receiver. He's locked in now for a while. He's what you've got.
When was the last time you saw him go up and pull down one of those balls?
Like a 50-50 ball?
Yeah.
Doesn't happen anymore.
And there were a couple opportunities there where there would have been great catches, but don't you expect a guy like that to make a great catch every now and then?
And as much as Savage sucked in the first half, none of those guys did him any favors. I mean, there was just balls that were hitting them in the hands, and they weren't holding on to. It did feel like, and maybe it was more the energy in the building that changed when Watson came in, but it almost felt like the team's energy went up for a minute.
Yeah.
But then it was back to what it was. I mean, it was.
Well, and the thing is, when the Texans cut it to 19-7, and they let them march right down the field on them, that was it. That was, you could almost see the quit in the team at that point. They realized, okay, we can't stop these guys and we can't score, so let's just get it home. Let's try Daniel. Welcome to Texans therapy.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Hey, long-time listener. Hey, I think one of the most embarrassing losses is when we went up to the Colts. It was like the last game of the season, and I think it was either Andrew Luck out or Peyton Manning out, and they had Hasselbeck back there. And we had to win, and then we get first place in the first round bye and all that stuff. But went up there, and Matt Hasselbeck tore us a new one. And I think that was one of the most embarrassing losses, just due to the fact that they had a backup quarterback, and our guys were, poised to get the number one seed, and that happened. And also, I got another question: when is this coach gonna figure out what's going on? This is the second time in 3 years where he had to pull his starting quarterback in the first game of the season at halftime, and how many quarterbacks do we have to go through if you didn't have confidence enough to let Savage finish the game, then why not start Deshaun? I just got a question. You know, that's just my take on everything.
Well, that's the funny thing is Bill O'Brien's smart enough to know that again, while Tom Savage wasn't good, and if Tom Savage was better, maybe it wouldn't have been so ugly. What happened yesterday was no fault of Tom Savage's, or at least not directly, because you know there's a lot of quarterbacks in this league that would have really struggled behind that offensive line yesterday. And it's not like this offensive line is any different than what they've had all preseason. They knew what they had. They knew exactly what they had. So I still don't understand that the decision to change quarterbacks at half. I don't get it.
I agree in principle. I'm not giving him a pass. I mean, you can't hold on to the ball that long. You can't have – he was just clueless in the pocket, which is what he's been every time we've seen him.
Yeah.
Which is what I've been saying all along. That's what he is. And he's not even a good backup quarterback. So the fact that they were so adamant that he was going to start the season and be their guy just kind of, again, shows you they mishandled the situation. And
maybe Brandon Whedon would have done better yesterday.
I'm
not even kidding.
No, I know you're not kidding. And I still wonder what they were thinking there, because he's at least won games for you in the past. Yeah. And you know what? You know how many touchdown passes Tom Savage has thrown now?
Still zero.
One fewer than Deshaun Watson.
Still zero.
Deshaun Watson now has more touchdown passes combined than Tom Savage, Fred Fowler, A.J. Hoffman, and Jong Lee.
Yeah.
So that ought to tell you something.
But thank God they kept Jordan Todman.
Oh, God, yeah.
Right? You know, instead of a third quarterback.
And D brings up a good point. Don't forget the wide receivers couldn't get separation either. Well, that's because they were down to basically two wide receivers at one point and down all their tight ends. And so Hopkins was the only thing, and I guess they threw Tyler Irvin out there to play some receiver. That didn't help either guy, because you know, you've got to have some weapons to throw to. So that contributed. The injuries contributed. The cluster injury at tight end certainly contributed. And neither of the quarterbacks played well, but I don't think anybody was going to play well in that situation where your offensive line is just getting destroyed and you don't have any weapons to throw the ball to. So,
well, I also don't like that. Even in that game, the pass to run play ratio was way heavy pass.
Yeah,
and
that's going to happen when you get down.
But they weren't down that far that early. I mean, they were still in that game at halftime, and it just seemed like from the beginning. I mean, maybe when they got down, what was it, 6-0?
19-0 at one point, though, and that's where. At that point, you have to throw the football.
But to start the game, they weren't running the football.
They still ran the ball more than they passed it, though, for most of the first half. They ran the ball 23 times. They weren't effective running it either. So, yeah, they wound up throwing the ball 36 times and running 23. But the reality is the whole fourth quarter, you're throwing the football.
Yeah. And it didn't seem like they were in any hurry in the fourth quarter.
No, either. And that was the other thing. Before the half, This is something that has driven me nuts about Bill O'Brien. There was no sense of urgency in that 2-minute drill.
Nope.
And they just let 20 seconds run off the clock. Just, oh, we got all the time.
Well,
and
by the way, when your offensive line sucks, the worst thing you can do is let the play clock run down to 1 before you snap it. Like, that's the worst thing you can do.
Yeah, that was just brutal. Let's try Nick. What's up, Nick?
Hey, guys. What's going on, man?
Hey, sports, Nick.
All right, so I want to start it off by saying, no, I don't think this is the most embarrassing loss, because we knew the offensive line was going to be bad anyway. So if the Texans would have won a game, it was going to be like 10-7, you know? So I do think that the playoff games was a lot worse because it was the playoffs. Everybody was there to watch it.
Those were against playoff-caliber teams.
Yeah, but you should still show up during the playoffs. You know what I mean? You're in the playoffs also. You know, you shouldn't be in there and get embarrassed while you're on national TV in the playoffs. I will say this, though. I think the most embarrassing loss possibly is, remember back in 2012 when I think the Texans started off like 6-0, 8-0, whatever. Everybody thought we was a really good team. Then comes Monday night, they played Green Bay. And Green Bay showed us, y'all aren't as good as you think you are. And it was like 42-20-something. You know, that was the most embarrassing loss in my opinion, because we really thought that team was going to be really good. And, no, I mean, they still weren't close. They still weren't close. any team like that. So.
I think the problem is you got suckered in, like many, to thinking that this team has ever been really good. Because I don't know that they ever have, because they've still never had a really great quarterback. And it's hard to be a great team without that. That's why my expectations for them have always been so tempered. I've never thought, well, a Super Bowl run's coming with Matt Schaub or Ryan Fitzpatrick or Brian Hoyer. I've never felt that way because they've never had a guy that I felt could win a Super Bowl.
Yeah, well, and I'm not sure they have a coach who can win a Super Bowl.
I'm definitely not sure on that.
And I think that the concern is I just don't see any changes. I see the same stuff. And, yeah, maybe they'll bounce back Thursday night. But, man, that's a short week. And, boy, is that going to be an ugly game or what?
Oh,
short
yeah.
week, early in the season. Bengals are crap, too.
Yeah. You have, like, five players with concussions.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
All right. So if you vomited on the floor during the game. Aubrey Theodi's your guy. What's going on, Aubrey?
Hey, guys. I mean, for sure, we can head up and take care of any of those problems. You know, hopefully it isn't that. Hopefully if you have pitter-patter of little feet that dirtied up the carpet, tile, grout, leather drapes, air ducts, your wool rugs, we can take care of really the interior quality of your home. And when you dial 281 Dirt Free, you're going to get the most advanced machine because we built it. The best free spot in the world that does not leave a residue. We tested it. And then our wand, the super water, I mean, all that makes a great system. We come out to your home, start in the worst spot. We run at the problem, not away from it. If you don't love what you see in the first few minutes, we won't bill you a dime. So three rooms, $100 on carpet cleaning. Somebody sent me a message and said, can we still get that rate even though there's water extractions? And I said, absolutely. Three rooms, $100, $100 free speed dry, 281 dirt free, dirtfreecarpet.com, 281-347-8373. You spell dirt free with one E, 281-347-8373. We're ready to take your calls right now.
There you go. That's Aubrey Theodi with Dirt Free. We'll talk to you next week, Aubrey.
Thanks, guys.
This is Kareem Jackson, and you listen to ESPN 97.5.
From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. Download the ESPN 97.5 app, available for your iOS or Android device. Stream all your favorite shows live on the go or listen to them at your convenience. With our on-demand podcast, just search ESPN 97.5 in your app store and download today. Don't have an iPhone or an Android? You can stream us on any smart device at the all-new ESPN975.com. Kevin Sumlin, Texas A&M Coaches Show tonight at 7. Wonder if the phones will be working for that one. I don't think...
Wouldn't be if they were smart.
Yeah, that didn't go well this weekend for them either.
They got lucky that they. I mean, it could have been way worse.
Yeah, they could have lost that game.
Yeah.
Man, everybody wants to weigh in, so let's let you guys have the floor here. We'll start with Shannon. What's up, Shannon?
Hey, fellow sports.
Sports to you.
Just a quick comment on the. Crybaby Texas fan you had about 30 minutes ago that said he wasn't going to watch until the Texans show him something. I'm 50 years old. I got a 21-year-old kid that's named after Archie Manning. I'm from Louisiana. Of course, I'm a Saints fan, so I know about misery. But I'm going to take a wild guess here and say that that gentleman's middle-aged man, pot belly, unshaven, chain-smoking, 1982 pickup driving. And I hope to goodness that some beautiful woman walks up to him and says, you know what, if you get your act together, I might marry you and give you a little. But until you do that, I just can't be a part of you. It makes no sense. Are you a fan or are you a child throwing a tantrum?
I don't know. I don't know that I agree with you on that because – and maybe because I'm not like a normal fan of any teams. I don't get – emotionally attached to anybody, but like I stopped being a fan of the Bills just because it was like a waste of my time. And I mean, I was watching this team every week, and they sucked, and they've never given me any reason to watch or invest money or time into them. It's like that's. I think fans are suckers. Like diehard, my team sucks. I'm still a diehard fan. I think you guys are suckers. I think you're pumping money, you're pumping time and energy into something that never gives back to you. No thanks.
Well, let me just say this because I think fans should be more discerning. And fans should demand more from their team because you know what this is? This is entertainment, man. We're supposed to be entertained. What about that game entertained you yesterday if you're a Texans fan? You got to see Deshaun Watson for a series where he went out and got you a touchdown. That was it.
That was the one entertaining drive of the game.
Yeah, yeah. So, and that's the thing. I don't blame fans for being frustrated. And that doesn't make them any less passionate. But honestly, if I didn't have to watch these guys right now, I don't know that I would. They're just not fun to watch.
Yeah,
yeah, that game Thursday night is going to be a bleep show.
Well,
let's try Jorge. What's up, Jorge?
Hey, how you doing?
Sports.
Hey, I got a couple things. I like that guy from New Orleans, the one that just called. Y'all probably pissed him off. I like it when y'all piss people off. Anyways, back to the Texans fans. The Texans game. I like Watson, and maybe in the future he could probably be a quarterback. But, man, if you throw him out there right now with that line, he's going to end up like RG3 and got hurt after a year. And then what's to look for after that if he gets hurt and ends up like that? I'll hang up and listen.
Well, I think that's a fair point because the reality is, do you want to ruin this guy? And
they ruined one.
Yeah.
David Carr
was ruined.
Listen, I don't know what David Carr would have ever been if he were put in the perfect situation. And, you know, if you're drafted with the number one pick, rarely is it the perfect situation. But I think David Carr could have had a much better career than he ended up having had he not been thrown out to the Wolves too early.
I agree.
And I would hate to see the same thing happen to Deshaun Watson, who's a guy that I said when they drafted, I see what they see for as far as long-term potential, but this is not a guy I would want to rush out, you know, and have him playing right away because it takes time for these guys to develop, and it's really hard to develop when you're running for your life. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's hard to learn how to play quarterback in the NFL when you're running around like, you know, you're being chased by murderers all day. It's very difficult.
Soccer Bilal says he was entertained when J.J. Watt came out of the tunnel with the flag.
That part was cool.
Yeah, was cool.
I like that.
Yeah. Let's try Steven. What's up, Steven?
Hey, guys, sports.
Sports to you, sir.
Hey, I want to talk about Duane Brown. And my opinion is that, you know, he hasn't been there for preseason. He didn't show up to game one. Not necessarily a team player. And then adding one person, granted, I know the line is terrible, one person isn't going to change that whole offense. So I'm just wondering, is he even worth keeping around, or should you just let him go and cut your losses? Because, one guy is not going to help. I'll hang up and listen.
Well, it depends on what you think this team is. If you think this team has a chance to contend this year, you need Duane Brown. Fred and I, we talk about this a lot. We talk about the window that this team has to win. And I think we agree it's 2 to 3 years.
Tops.
You know, and Duane Brown is part of that. Is Duane Brown still a top five left tackle in the league? No. But he's well above average, and he's worlds better than anybody that was out there on the field yesterday for them. Whatever you think about Duane Brown, I disagree that Duane Brown's not a team player. I think Duane Brown is a team player. I think Duane Brown just at some point needs to make sure he's taken care of. And I don't necessarily fault him. And it's frustrating to me when they pay a backup tight end and a fullback a week before the season starts while Duane Brown's sitting there waiting to get taken care of. And that's been, outside of Andre Johnson and J.J. Watt, is probably the, you know, he's one of the best players in your franchise's history.
Well, and they sure went out of their way to take care of Andre Johnson and J.J. Watt over
the years. Yeah. And Andre Johnson got taken care of. Andre Johnson signed a bad, bad deal.
Yeah.
And the Texans still made it right with him. Nobody questioned whether or not he was a team player when he started bitching. And J.J. Watt didn't even have to ask. They showed up with a Brinks truck for him.
I will say this, though. One player can make a difference because Dwayne Brown is your best offensive lineman. And if you put him back out there, he's going to be better than Kendall Lamb was yesterday and Chris Clark. And the reality is you've got the potential there for a functional four-fifths of your line to be functional, because if you put Mance in for Suofilo and Allen's healthy, I think Martin's going to be a player. Right tackle's going to be a mess. There's just nobody there that can play it.
Yeah.
But you at least got four out of your five.
Well, if you think Allen's any good either.
And when he's healthy, he really wasn't healthy last year. And, of course, he limped off the field yesterday, so we don't know. Yeah. I think he's average. I don't think he's awful. Sofilo's just awful. You know, Kendall Lamb was bad. Chris Clark is just—he's not a starting tackle, and you know that's frustrating because we talked all offseason about how they needed to address the tackle position, and the way they did it was by just Dwayne will hold out and we won't sign him. Great, that's how you addressed it. Maybe some of these guys need new jobs.
Maybe so. Maybe so. You know where they could go? My computer career. It's not too late, Fred. It's not too late to start a new gig in the computer industry, in the IT field, because it's not rocket science, guys. It's my computer career. Listen, if you've worked in a job that you're not happy with, or you're not making enough money, or whatever the case, maybe you have to work out in the rain or the heat, let my computer career get you started on a different path. See if an IT career would work for you. My computer career, you can get trained for the high-demand field of IT and start your new life as an IT pro in as little as 3 to 4 months. You attend classes on campus or live online just twice a week. You'll get everything you need to start a new career. It's more than just a school, though. My Computer Career helps you get in the industry because they work with hundreds of employers that hire their students. Financial aid is available to those who qualify, including the GI Bill. Classes start up soon. Go take the free career evaluation now. MyComputerCareer.edu. That's MyComputerCareer.edu.
ESPN 97.5.